We're talking about the topic of the general wisdom for mothers and sons. And as Christian leaders, we can encourage our mothers to do a great job and glorify God in the raising of their sons. This is great principles. Dr. Kevin Lehman wrote a book called What a Difference a Mom Makes, The Indelible Imprint a Mom Leaves on Her Son's Life. And I recommend that you buy this book because we're only touching on some of the major points of this book in terms of for your preparation as a Christian leader. Here are some guiding parenting principles that apply to all parenting situations that Dr. Kevin Lehman mentions in this book, and it applies across the board. Don't major on the minors. Nitpicky parenting will not do well. Don't react. Think, then respond. Emotional parenting, where things are just coming out of buttons that are being pushed, is an American term for where you push a button and it's an emotional button and there's an explosion and there's anger or there's types of reactions that basically lose the moment in the emotion. Don't push your child. In other words, if you know that you want your child to do well, be very careful not to just advance your child beyond where that child really is. It's not a race, and your child will grow up too soon anyway. A lot of times this is a danger for firstborn sons, and moms push that firstborn so much. And I know that my wife and I were much more pushing our children, the earlier ones, than we are on the later ones, because we realized that that doesn't work. Stay calm, cool, and collected at all times. In a lot of ways, being a mother to sons is just keeping your calm. So let's talk about some of the practical places that a lot of people ask questions about. Dr. Kevin Lehman talks about these things. So there's talking, walking, and potty training. Every child talks and walks on a different schedule. So don't compare your son with anyone else. He is who he is. And unless there's a physical problem or a psychological problem, autism or something like that, he will walk and talk in his own time. There are natural functions like sleeping, eating, going to the potty. I need you to ask you something, Dr. Kevin Lehman says. Chances are good that you've gone potty today, but does someone give you an M&M every time you go potty? That's sort of funny. An M&M is a candy in America. No. Then why should you do that with your son? Parents are great at fabricating schemes to get their kids to do what comes naturally. Potty training is one of those things where don't make that into a big deal and a great reward thing. When you say, oh, Frank, Mikey has just gone poopy. Oh, come and look. Isn't that great? What's your son thinking? Boy, that wasn't so hard. One grunt and 4.5 inches of poop popped out. These people will do anything for entertainment. Now, let's see. Let's see now. If next time, if you make a big deal out of potty training, it will become a big deal. Treat it as just a natural thing that you do, and it takes all the challenge out of it. Notice, it's about reality. It's not about making this. And again, I look at the early children that we had, and we're much more trying to use this reward system rather than that's expected that you go potty. It's expected that you behave. Instead of pushing potty training, look for signs of readiness. Interest in a big potty. Dislike of wet or poopy diapers. The way it feels, etc. The time to strike is when the child is interested, then be calm about it. Here's another issue of parenting, sharing. Your son won't share naturally. After all children start out with the perspective of me, 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 and only me. He needs to be taught to share. By you demonstrating before he's 3, make sure that even if your child is an only child, You share things with him and then ask him to share things with you. See, Nathan, mommy shares with you, grandpa shares with you. Sometimes you need to share with Johnny. By the time your child hits age 3, he should be taught how to share. Take turns. Compete nicely and work with others. Here's another critical point. Childhood mentoring. During these years, attitude, behavior, and character are most important. How your son treats others will say a lot about his attitudes and how he treats and how you're raising him. What does he act like when other kids, when another kid is picked on? Does he join in with the bullying or defend the child being hurt? His response says a lot about his character. So you're going to be watching for these various things and how he interacts. Notice you're working on the major things, not the minor things. So what can you do to help this? Take clue from your child and what he needs from you. In other words, you look at who he is and you see attitude, behavior, character, and you're looking for how to mold him to be one who glorifies God with his life. Teach him to be responsible and hold him accountable. Stay away from the activity trap. You know, when you're so busy and everybody is stressed out, that is not a great place for parenting. Enjoy your son. There are no years like these where you figure so prominently in your son's life. Now let's talk about as your son grows to adolescence. And Dr. Kevin Lehman talks about the great secrets of adolescence. And here's just a few. Your son thinks he's a klutz. And you know what? He is. It's okay. Your son thinks he's dumb and he does dumb things. Your son thinks he's ugly and he is a little awkward looking. Your son really doesn't like himself, but he loves you. Notice, he loves you. So this is the time to really make him feel great about who he is, that he is created by God despite the fact that major changes are coming. Your son's body will be changing continually during this time. Pimples might pop out. His voice will crack. He's never been interested in girls before, but now they loom large on his masculine landscape. He also studies the handsome, muscular guys in magazine covers and on TVs. Then he takes a peek in his mirror and looks at himself. He looks nothing like them, and that makes him feel inferior. Your son needs you to emphasize with him, empathize with him, but also to put things gently into perspective. Telling stories about embarrassing things you did during your own growing up years, provide laughter and in a longer term perspective for your son. And really that's in that time as a mother. You're telling that adolescent son, it's okay to be adolescent, this too will pass, and there's a lot of joy in that time of life. Here are some basic, very important principles you can give your son. Understanding about money. It's important that your son learns how to budget his money. Add up all the money you spend on your child during these years, groceries, doctor bills, and other such things aside, then divide it by 12. At the beginning of each month, give your child that amount. When your child is younger, you'll want to do it weekly, use a smaller amount. Explain the allowance has to cover certain items. Initially, make him a list of those will help him. And that it has to last. He has to have enough money to the end of the month. No money will be given to him until the beginning of the next month. Okay, so this is a principle Dr. Kevin Lehman believes. So in a sense, there's allowance that helps him cover the items that he needs. I guarantee you, your son will look at the money in that envelope and his first thought will be, hey, I'm rich. Look at all this money. I'm going to do this or that. Before long, your son is out of money. And it's only the 12th of the month. There's a lot of month left. When he comes to you and says, oh, mom, I wanted to do pizza at lunch on Tuesday, but I don't have any money. What do you say? Well, payday is in about 2 weeks from Saturday, and then you'll get your allowance again. Now that's a teachable moment your son will remember. The next month, he'll be a lot more careful about how he spends that money. I know you're only 12 right now, but the next 4 years are going to fly by. I want you to know that I believe in you and that I trust you. However, if you decide not to be responsible at home or school, you will not be driving the car. It's an open and shut case. As a parent, I'm not going to risk that what your dad and I have financially by putting our car's keys in your hands of someone who's not responsible. It's a huge responsibility to get behind the wheel of a car, but we have to have a conversation about texting, or do you even need to hear what I'm going to tell you? Do we have to talk about not having 5 friends in the car with you? Do you already know that? I have to discuss the rest later, but do you get my drift? Now, what are you doing? The child's only 12, but right away get that expectation that the next 4 years, in America, the driving age for a child is 16, but already you are communicating that a non-trustworthy person, non-responsible person, is not going to be driving a car when they're 16. So it's time now to start laying those principles in. You know, Dr. Kevin Lehman understands that it's better to talk when they're 12 about some of the things, to plant the seeds and to nurture them now, and to be consistent. If your child knows that you follow through, they will know only one option is to be responsible. Let's talk about the teenage years. Be aware of the world your son lives in every day. Read the newspaper or check the news online. Be aware of things that happen in your child's school. In other words, tune into your son's world. It's not the same world you grew up in. It's far more dangerous and growing more so every day. The most important thing is to tune into your son's heart. He needs to know you care about him and his world. You may not like the beat of the music he's listening to, but listen to the lyrics. Use phrases like, tell me more about that to prompt conversation. Don't ever, ever interrogate him. That will only shut him down. But show interest in what he is interested in, like building an 8-foot jet or playing Call of Duty 3, even if you don't have a clue about computer games, and he'll respond. Keep an eye on his behavior. Hormone changes will cause wild mood swings. So expect moodiness. Expect your son to just grunt if you ask how his day went and disappear into his room until dinner. But if you notice your son spending all the time on the computer or jumping or looking nervous when he comes into a room, you better check out the computer's history. If your son starts not caring how he looks or not eating, remember those aren't typical teenager behaviors. Be aware that some teens can sink into depression and may need your help or even some professional help digging them out. You know, on this point too, I emphasize this as Christian leaders. Stuff beyond Dr. Kevin Lehman, like this is a good key as a Christian leader. If you're dealing with someone within your church or your community and you're ministering to them and you saw like all of a sudden change in behavior, change in eating patterns, change in things that are just pretty normal, definitely listen and help, but be okay with the fact that there may be some professional help needed, and that's a good thing. Set boundaries and stick to them. Family meetings in which all members have a say in family outings, rules, guidelines are critical during the times. You know, this is really critical too. I always found that less rules enforced is better than a lot of rules unenforced. If you decide that your son has to be home by 10 and it's a Friday night and he blows it, he loses his privilege to go out for a while. Without boundaries, there is chaos and you'll experience the fallout. Look for the rewards. Catch your son doing something wonderful. Slip a commercial. I love seeing you help the librarian dig her car out of the snow. That was really kind of you. You didn't have to stop, and yet you did. Remember that your little boy turned big boy wants your approval the most. Driving the car, again, is a privilege, and your son will have your son will have once he gets his license. However, you hold the aces. That privilege is based on his being a respectful member of your family. If he chooses not to be, then he loses his family privilege of driving the car. Again, it's reality discipline. B doesn't happen until A is completed. Withhold the car keys from him once, and it will tick him off. He might go into a triad. If he does, walk into a different room. No emotion, just walk in a different room. Car keys in hand. Ignore him. When he sees you're not relenting, he'll try his best to change his tune. In other words, his attitude. Oh, come on, Mom. You know I didn't mean that. Now, notice what's happening here. His actions are connected to his behavior, which is connected to the reality, as opposed to things like a big fight over authority and emotion. Get your son to focus off himself. The teen years can be very self-centered years when your son will be thinking intensely about himself. How do I fit in at school with my friends? Do I look lame to girls? His mind is littered with thoughts of me, me, me. He's constantly comparing himself to other males to see if he's good enough and is competing to see if he can get the girl to notice him, so to speak. In these years of me, why not do something other-centered together as a family activity to get your son's perspective off himself and onto those who aren't as fortunate as he is. So again, it's focusing on getting your son off himself. That even includes if you're a single parent. And, you know, let's briefly talk about a single parent thrive plan. Get back to the basics. Take care of yourself and get some sleep. Be honest about what happened to get you where you are and how can things change if you don't know what happened in the first place. Evaluate your priorities and write them down. Be ruthless about cutting your schedule to what's really doable. But I also want to be clear about something else. You're your son's mom. Again, it's the focus of getting him off himself, even if you're a single parent. Here's some ways to win your boy's heart. Let him be a boy. Noisy, competitive, risk-taking. Share his excitement when he learns something new. Treat his heart with tender, loving care. Remember, he's a softie underneath. Let him conquer whatever it is. He wants to conquer. In other words, that foster that healthy masculinity in him. So specifically, what can you do? Don't expect perfection. Nobody's perfect. You or your son will both make your share of mistakes. Use your words wisely. Focus on connection, not activities or stuff. Love him unconditionally. These are all things that are very powerful in your son's life from you. I'm going to conclude this presentation this week on Moms with Sons with basically the top 10 countdown for being an awesome mom. And again, as a Christian leader, you can share this. First of all, number 10, remember, he's a boy, not a girl. Number 9, I know he's adorable, but he needs to be held accountable. Number 8, don't always pay attention to how he looks. Pay more attention to his heart. Number 7, how you handle his failures is more important than how you handle his victories. Number 6, No two children in the family should be treated the same because they're not the same, including your boy. Number five, remember that your boy will only stay weird for about 15 years. Okay. Number four, he's the wavy line all over the place. You need to be the consistent one. Number three, start with the end in mind. What do you want your son to be? In other words, attitude, behavior, character. Just think of that always in your mind. Number two, you don't get to relive moments. Make every day count. Realize that this is your day. And now, are you ready for number one? Many have tried and no one succeeded. You can't do it all. But what you do do will make a lasting difference in your son's life. I'm glad that we looked at this topic. I think as a Christian leader, you will get many key principles that you can pass along to families that you are ministering to. And again, I want to emphasize, in all of these classes, if things need more than what Dr. Kevin Lehman is talking about, you might want to find a counselor or someone who can help you specifically. But if you hold to the Word of God and you hold to the biblical principles and you see these basic principles that were the counseling profession in Dr. Kevin Lehman's line, pretty much in his mind, the Bible and the counseling profession align. So the nice thing about somebody like Dr. Kevin Lehman is you can see so many practical applications worked out where some of the best teachings in the pastoral care and the counseling training and a biblical worldview connect. So these are great principles as a pastor, as you help those. It's a great principle for Christian leaders or elders or deacons as you help those that you are leading.